I'm Erin.
And I'm Allie. I very proudly have never liked or purchased LuLaRoe leggings.
And I just can't anymore.
And we hate everything.
I'm diving into the drink right off the bat.
Get
Allie.
Into your drink, honey.
I want to be inside this drink. How do I do it?
You stab it. Have you but not I'd had stab, boba?
I have, but usually mine has a lid.
Ready?
With the thing.
Stab.
Stab. Ah! I knew that was going to happen. I knew it. Did I spill boba on myself? Yes, but less than one
boba
might have anticipated.
From Boba Loca in Atwater Village.
That sounds cute.
And I thought of you because you requested Not That Sweet, and they have a gauge there. You can get it 75% sweet all the way down to 25% sweet.
Oh my God.
So I got you a 25% sweet matcha boba.
What a magical time.
Magical times. I got mine blended like a little bitch baby with ice cream.
Oh, that's so cute.
I'm a little bitch.
Yes, be a little bitch baby. I'm very excited, so I'm just gonna...
You got excited from the top.
Queenly.
Yes!
Queenly boba.
We win!
Yeah.
We win.
The tea itself is very good. The mixture with the boba. Their boba has a little more flavor than the boba that I typically get from Pine and Cream. But I'm really enjoying the way the flavors blend together.
Mm.
So apparently I like matcha. Great. Good to know.
Good to know.
Good to know.
I'm still chewing this. I forgot that we have to chew this.
Yeah, that's the only problem. Wow. We've been planning to get boba for weeks, and literally neither of us thought about the fact that we have to chew it.
That we have to do a chewing in the middle of all of this.
Great. We're going to have to just, like, trade off talking, you know, like we do.
But... Have you seen the LuLaRoe documentary?
No, I was very surprised that you brought up LuLaRoe, because I didn't think LuLaRoe was, like, a thing anymore.
Oh, it very much... It's a thing, allegedly.
Wait, really? Still?
There are people who still sell them.
Oh, God.
If you hear noises, that's the dog.
We are allowing Shay to be in the room with us. The irony is she's not on the camera, which kind of, like, defeats the purpose because she's fucking adorable.
Well, she wanted to be in here because she loves us.
Yes.
Not because she does need to be in front of the camera, let's be real. She's very cute.
She likes a lot of attention.
But this is also an audio medium, so there are some people who cannot see Shay, period.
Exactly. Well, currently it's none of you, but it is us.
It is us, and we appreciate this dog.
Yeah, she was licking her foot. Don't know if you'll hear it, but she's being very good. So we'll see how long that lasts.
Anyway, the documentary was wild, but I didn't want to recap it on this podcast, but I did want to talk about it with you because it seems very like a thing we would all watch.
Great. Tell me about it. Love a multi-level marketing scheme.
It's an MLM. It's Surprise Mormon. There are patterns that make you look like you have a dick and or like you have a vagina that's like out.
Why? But they're Mormon? But why?
But they're Mormon. It's crazy.
I am fascinated. Whence can I see this documentary?
It's on Amazon Prime. I can't stop thinking about it. It's bonkers banana town.
Oh my gosh.
Bonkers banana town.
I love it.
How have you been?
Dude, I was about to ask the same thing because I've like barely spoken to you.
I know.
By barely spoken, I mean like have texted like multiple times since we saw each other a week ago.
Mostly migraine support.
Yes.
I had my first migraine. Yes.
Yeah. Baby's first migraine.
I'm very thankful that
hopefully
I had you to like.
Last.
Hopefully. Thankfully, I had you to like step me through it.
Yes. Hold your hand.
Yes. I was like, Erin, I'm eating cheese out of my hands in my bed.
And I said, great. You're doing it right. It's a good job.
I got Excedrin for migraines. We're doing a thing.
Yeah. Doing a thing.
Yeah, and then I had a little hangover the next day because I had to interact with screens a lot, and then my body was like, I remember this. We don't like it.
Well, that's pretty typical. It's called predrome and prodrome, I think. Like, you can feel a little weird before you get a migraine and after. So I do call it a migraine hangover.
Yeah.
Where, like, the next day I still feel kind of meh.
Mm-hmm.
But cheese, night cheese, can't beat it.
Cheese, man.
You know, that's what you actually, it's not unusual to get food cravings either before, after, or during a migraine.
Yeah.
So whenever I get them, I just give in fully.
I just didn't have it in me to stand up and cook a grilled cheese.
Oh,
but I
did
have it in me to like raw dog two slices of cheddar.
Yes.
Into my face hole.
I know I need calories in my body. However, the calorie delivery system is going to need to be pretty simple.
Yes.
Now the dog wants out.
No. She's Are you going to just lay sit down? By the door.
Yeah, she loves to lay by the door.
Oh, big dramatic sigh.
That was so dramatic. She truly is a dog after her mother's hearts.
Yes.
Shay's personality is like you plus me minus executive functioning.
She's got Rob's anxiety, though.
No, I don't think so.
You don't categorize her as anxious?
Absolutely not. Are you kidding me? This is like the chillest dog in the world.
She is very chill.
We can leave her and she's like, don't leave me. Oh, well. Whoops, cozy bed here. Fell asleep.
Everything's a bed if you try hard enough.
Exactly.
Everything's she's a bed if you just fall asleep on it.
No anxiety. I don't know what's wrong with me this year, but like I just can't with the heat. Like, it's not even that hot.
I don't like it either.
But, like, today, what was the high? Like, 85? I was like, no, I won't do it.
I used to take walks and hikes and in the heat.
I can't.
Anytime I'm outdoors for longer than 10 minutes, I'm like, I'm being wildly inconvenienced, and this is torture.
I've gone to a couple coffees where, like, I go, and I'm like, okay, I know I'm going to sit outside for an hour or so. Mm-hmm. And I know that, like, the thing I do as soon as I get home is strip off all my clothes. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, these are my hot clothes, and they are hot now.
And they're too hot.
And I can't do it. I can't do
it. I bought a sunscreen face spray for such an occasion. That you don't have to, like, rub in. You can just go boop, 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 boop. I think it's in my bag. I'll show you what I've done.
Glorious.
We can do a show and tell.
This is glorious.
Yes.
Allie.
Yeah?
What do you hate?
I hate that my body is making me a vegetarian against my will.
That's fucked up.
It's really fucked up.
That's some fucked up shit.
Because here's the thing. If I wanted to be vegetarian or vegan, I would like to make the conscious choice based on just the fact that, you know, this is true. Farming animals is wildly unethical and, like, very, very, very bad.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have had that opportunity, but my body made that choice for me. But it's only sometimes, right? So, like, I had steak at my friend's wedding,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the vegetarian option is very often full of carbs.
Yeah. Oh, and you can't have the
and
fucking,
I can't have a gluten. Lot of carbs.
Yeah.
So sometimes my body gives me a little free pass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Other times the thought of consuming meat gives me the icks and I do a little bleh, like I can't. Sometimes it'll happen in the middle of eating meat, and then I can't finish my food. We know how much I love a burger, don't we?
Allie loves a burger.
She really loves burgers.
Also loves eating raw meat with her hands, Lebanese style.
Yes, but here's the thing. That got fucked for me because it gets mixed with a wheat germ.
Oh, God.
And then you eat it with a gluten. So I've already said goodbye to that.
But I say this to the point that...
That I'm a Allie meat eater. I was a meat eater.
Meat with her hands.
I was, like, into it. Sorry to any vegetarians or vegans who are listening, but, like, I was into it. And then, for whatever reason, this year, my body was like, we don't do that. And, like, I went to go get tacos, you know, because I was meeting up with a former assistant who used to work at my management company.
Yeah, tacos, like you do. Like you go taco. Get tacos. Duh.
And then I looked at all the options and I was like, God, I can't do any of them. They're all full of meat. And then I got the two vegan options.
So does this mean, I have so many questions.
I know, I do too. Here's the thing, I do too. I don't know how or why this happened. I'm aware it's good for the climate. I'm aware it's good for the animals. I don't like the fact that I didn't make the choice.
Yeah. Fair. But here's what I just, if both out of professional curiosity, you know, as a professional journalist, we're not journalists. Professional curiosity, and also so that I know personally what you can eat / what to eat with you. Does this extend to all meat, or are there particular kinds that are better or worse?
I don't think I fuck with chicken anymore.
Wow. So beef, definitely. No.
I can do a steak
but only at a wedding.
Only if that's like, because, all right, that's the other thing that like that's like making me angry. It's because I have a stupid gluten allergy that I do not enjoy. So more often than not, you know, before in the before times, I would also just mm-hmm. like try to eat less meat in general.
Yeah.
And it was good when I went to a place knowing that I had a meat option if like I could not find something sure. else that was suitable. Right. Yeah. But now I'm not fucking with the meat options.
Oh, God.
So I'm like, what do I eat?
So no beef, really, like no pork, no poultry.
I can't. Well, it's conditional. If it really looks like it's a cut of meat, then I'm like, oh, wow, ew.
So is this mental or physical, or do you even know?
I think it's mental. I think my body's doing a thing where it's like, that used to be alive.
Wow. What about fish and shellfish?
Fish smell and texture, I can't do anymore. I can do a tuna, weirdly and randomly, but like I tried to have sushi and my body went, bleh.
Wow. This would be tragic for me.
I know, but tragic. Like it only did a sometimes, bleh. Like I have to consciously turn my brain off a little bit to have sushi.
Okay. So could you eat meat like if you weren't, if it was mixed in with a dish and there's like lots of other things?
Yeah, if it was like mixed in with a salad or like.
This is fascinating.
It's so conditional, but it's so constant.
Do you feel sick after you eat meat?
No, it's just my body. You know, have you ever eaten something that your body was just like, absolutely not? Even though you're hungry.
I feel like the only time I've experienced this is like when I was, I'm gonna say when I was a kid, but you also know that means like last weekend probably, when I eat too many marshmallows and then I can't look at a marshmallow again for a while without wanting to kind of like throw up.
Yeah. That kind of thing. So like I have turkey bacon at my house. I'll eat that.
Okay.
It looks processed enough.
Okay. If it looks really, so if it looks really far from the original form.
Yes, because for example, I was like, okay, I'm a human woman who really enjoys hamburgers. Meat grosses me out. I will buy the Impossible patties.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I went to go cook one.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times with synthetic meat, they like to make it look like meat for aesthetics.
Yeah, and have like the texture of meat too.
And have like the fake blood. So that really fucked me up. I was like, no, no, I'm not doing this.
So you couldn't even eat an Impossible burger.
I ate that. I was like, bleh! And then I went, it's fine. It's not actually blood.
Wow.
I also still watch American Horror Story. And there's like in the intro now, it's a lot of like raw meat being processed. And ooh, we can't do that.
It's so interesting, Allie, because as someone, it's such a weird thing.
Because I'm such a fucking meat eater.
You are such a meat eater. And, like, I'm not and never have been. Like, as a child, I just never cared. I never liked steak. I never liked pork chops. And my mom made stuff like that. And those were the nights that I would fill up on broccoli and bread.
Yeah.
And my mother would be like, all right, eat, like, two bites.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't like, clean your plate and eat all the things you hate. But, you know, I distinctly remember being told I needed to eat a little bit of my meat.
Yeah. But, like, imagining a pork chop now, I can't.
And I was vegan for, like, a couple years. And I've also been vegetarian and pescatarian. So, like, a life without meat is totally normal to me.
Absolutely
doable. But I've never felt, like, grossed out. Well, raw meat, yes.
Yeah.
I don't like working with raw meat. Doesn't make me happy.
I've never liked working with raw meat. No, like, when I cook at home for my family, I'm famously known for making someone else cut some chicken and touch it.
Oh, yeah.
Same. No, absolutely
same.
Not.
Hard same.
Yeah.
But I've never felt that. Like, even when I was vegan and, like, coming back to eating meat a little bit, which I came back slowly. First, I was vegan plus oysters because they clean the water. And then I added back, like, some more seafood and stuff for a while. But I never remember, like, I was never grossed out by meat, cooked meat.
I'm not either.
Except but you're not.
My body is telling me no.
Your body and like your lizard brain or whatever, right? Like your subconscious.
I clocked it the first time. It was my birthday and I got a chicken bowl from a place.
Mm-hmm.
and I was cutting into the chicken and just like watching the meat peel back from each other, and you get like that sheen of fat, like watching a muscle go like you're tearing into a muscle is what it is. And my body went, oh, no, and I threw it out. I tried to eat the rest of it. I tried to turn my brain off and eat the rest of it. Couldn't do it.
Wow.
Yeah. Really couldn't do it, right, Shay?
No, Mom.
Right?
I know you couldn't do it, but I can do it. I can eat it for you.
You guys can't see the eye contact that's happening. She's so cute. This is a really,
into your eyes.
This is going to be like really boring because all I'm going to talk about is just how beautiful this dog is that you can't see from my vantage point.
She is so beautiful. We'll put her on the, we'll put her on the gram.
So beautiful.
We'll put her on the gram. Y'all can see her.
Just to get a little soapboxy about me, like, can you think about eating this dog?
No.
Of course not. You know, it's a it's like anything else.
It's my baby.
Of course.
Well, this is my literal baby.
I know.
This is my child. So, like, no, I'm not going to eat my child.
Yeah. It's just weird to, like, work backwards.
Yeah.
From it.
Well, what's weird is that you didn't make a conscious choice.
I didn't.
But your brain and your stomach and your whatever neurons are firing have decided that meat is now disgusting and you're going to want to throw up.
Yeah.
What an
Unless
odd
it's the
phenomenon.
Only thing that is available for me to eat, in which case I will do it.
Right, but that's like that's your biological imperative to stay alive and not starve,
you know,
right?
I just can't imagine being a gluten-free vegetarian. That feels very inconvenient and annoying to me. I can't imagine how annoying it would be to anyone else who needs to like cook for me.
Except you are now, so get used to it.
I hate it.
You are a gluten-free vegetarian.
Not always.
Not on purpose.
I'm a sometimes vegetarian. I'm not all the way. I'm not ready to say that yet.
I think you just did say it.
Because then I think, like, if I'm ever caught eating turkey meat, it's going to be like, oh, you're a vegetarian. No!
To be fair, fuck anybody who has an opinion about what anybody else eats.
Like, that's true.
No one needs to hear you.
No one needs your opinion about anyone else's preferences. Period. And how they choose to live their life. Period. It feels very weird. I feel personally attacked by my body, and I don't enjoy it.
Well, Allie, that fucking sucks.
It does. It does. What do you hate?
Wow. Okay. So, I hate the policing of women's clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it happens all the time. And it's really about policing women's bodies, but, like, this is just another one of those, like, specific forms that it takes.
Yes.
And this was kicked off for me by, I don't know if you saw, but there was a TikTok video that went viral that was these young women at a beach, and this dude comes up and starts talking to them about what they're wearing. And he starts harassing them, and the women are filming him, and they're laughing at him because he's ostensibly ridiculous.
Right.
Like, he's ridiculous. And they're like, why are you looking at us? Like, and they start saying, gouge your eyes out, gouge your eyes out, because it's something from the Bible, because he's trying to, like, preach at them, like, Christian. Like, because I'm a Christian, you need to put on more clothes, right?
Yeah.
And he has this whole excuse about,
oh,
like,
what is it? Like, if your eye offends you, pluck it out?
Yeah, I don't know.
This is what it is?
It might be a misquoting of the Bible. Don't know, don't care. I liked what they were saying, because they were basically like, leave us alone. We're not talking to you. Why are you, creepy older man, coming up and talking to a group of teenage girls about their literal bodies?
Yeah.
Like, shut up. And so he does this.
Also, the world isn't made for you, random.
Oh, no,
man. Like,
no, no,
like
no.
You can have your own preferences and, you know, what you wish would happen. We just have to be aware that we are humans who live in a world, and it's just convergence of everyone's free will, and we need to be fucking
exactly.
Okay with it.
And, you know, his point, like, he goes on some stuff about Jesus or whatever, and then they're like, well, I'm an atheist. And he's like, well, still, you should respect yourselves.
Jesus's best friend was a sex worker.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey. Yeah, she was.
Oops.
She was.
Oops.
But that's the thing, is like, he felt that he had the right to come up to these women and talk to them. And his excuse was like, oh, well, I have children. A 6-year-old and a 9-year-old boy don't need to be seeing that. And I'm like, first of all, if you think your 6-year-old gives a single flying fuck about what these college-age women, young women, about like 18, I think, was kind of the median age.
Yeah.
If you think your 6-year-old cares what these women are wearing, You don't know six-year-olds.
Your six-year-old really cares that the tide just wiped out the sandcastle that they spent a long time building.
Like, I don't think your six-year-old gives a flying fuck. And, you know, I also don't think it's any of your six-year-old's business. So he's going on about, like, how, like, what they're wearing is inappropriate and they're wearing thongs, which they weren't. And then another woman comes in. And, well, first of all, he points her out as an example. Like, look what this woman's wearing. Like, you should be more like her. Like, you can wear a two-piece, but only like this. And she's wearing, like, a high-waisted, like, kind of long-line two-piece because she's, like, a mom who's there with her kids. But then, and I, at first I was like, how dare you even point out this random woman? How dare you? But then she comes over and gets her ass involved too. And she's talking about how you need to respect yourselves and no one's going to respect you if you don't respect yourselves. And these women are just like, I do respect myself and I'm fucking hot. So if I want to wear a swimsuit at the beach, I can wear a swimsuit at the beach.
Yeah.
So this is the whole thing. Like, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what was going through any of these people's minds. And then she goes on about, like, don't curse in front of my child. She, and the girls are like, we weren't cursing until this guy came over and started yelling at us. So, like, calm down, everyone. But the fact that a stranger felt that he had the right to walk up to a group of women, and I don't know what it was, right? Because they were wearing normal swimsuits. First of all, it doesn't matter what they were wearing.
Right. They could have been naked. They
could have been wearing thongs. I mean, naked on a public beach depends on the rules of the beach. I'm like, go by the rules of where you are, right?
Right.
If you're in a public beach and they say, wear a top, fine, whatever. Is it bullshit? Yes, because men can be shirtless anywhere they want, and that's fine. We can see men's nipples right, left, and all over the place. And because women's nipples, I don't know, feed babies, they're bad?
Yeah. Also, the grossest man can wear the tiniest Speedo on the beach and technically still be okay.
Of course. So this
it's
is,
like,
But I mean, it's I want to speak to that consumer, too, though. Which like, is, it's something about the way, there was something about these women. I wonder if it's that he thought they were hot, number one.
Yeah.
I also wonder if it's two of, one of them yelled out like, well, I'm into women, so please go away. Like, I'm here, I don't care what you think about me, man. So I don't know if he, if they looked visibly queer to him or if they looked different. I don't know what made him think he had the right to go up to them and what triggered that, right? Because you're at a beach, people are going to be wearing swimsuits.
It's because the commenting on women's bodies and what they're wearing is fucking sport. It's so ingrained in our culture that we don't know that it's rude. Like, it's down to the red carpet of it all, where it's like, this person wore this thing that sucked, and this person wore this thing that was really fucking great. And oh my god, her body looked amazing, and that cut wasn't great for her. And we have all these talks and discussions about it. It's in literally everything.
Yeah, it's so true.
That it's really hard to extract it from your brain. So when you see something that you want to comment on, it's hard to be like,
you feel like you have the right to comment on
it. The right because it's public and it's what we all, quote, do, right? No.
No.
Don't do that.
Don't do it.
That's rude.
That's the thing that pissed me off so much is I'm like, okay, and this guy, you know, he couched it all in Christianity or whatever. And then he, like, went online and was like, he got doxxed. And then he went on and was like, yeah, I did that and I do it again because I'm a man of God. Turns out he has been living with a woman and has two children with her that he's not married to. So, like, hello. Let's, you know, what is that saying? Don't cast stones. You know, Jesus said it. Jesus said, don't throw a rock at this person unless no one could throw a rock at you for anything, bitch. Yeah. I think that's the exact quote from the Bible, probably.
He said bitch.
He definitely said bitch. But like, dude, when another woman got in on it too, I was just like, also, your children, like, I don't need to change my behavior because your children are around. If you don't want your children to be around adults speaking freely and wearing swimsuits, don't take your children to a public beach.
Right. And, like, it's not anyone else's problem. Let's pretend the kids do have questions. It's not these people's problem that you have to talk to your shitty kids about butt cheeks.
Right? Like, also, like, first of all, I don't think kids know inherently that bodies are evil. Yeah. Right? Like,
kids touch their private parts in public constantly.
All the time.
For For any number any of reasons.
Any reason. They're like, I've got an itch there. I just want to touch there.
Yeah.
I'm holding my pee-pee, mommy. Like, yeah. So this idea that, like, human bodies are inherently, like, bad for young eyes, I think is really fucked up and has a lot to more to do with your parenting than it does with anyone who is revealing their body. Bodies are bodies. We all have them. Like, this shouldn't be any kind of, like, opportunity for shame. So then there was another thing that Rob showed me, which was a woman who was, like, taking a test in a professional setting. I think she was in medical school. Mm-hmm. And she was, like, kicked out of the room because of her skirt. Now, again, first of all, it does not matter what she was wearing. However, when you see what this woman was wearing, she is wearing a completely professional pencil skirt that comes down below her knees. It's not stretchy. It's not bodycon. It's fucking tweed, right?
Yeah.
It's fucking tweed. So the fact that she got, like, this is happening everywhere to all kinds of women, right?
Yeah.
And it happens also so much. I think a lot of us have been guilty. I'm sure I've been guilty of this in the past, we shame fat women for what they choose to wear. Mm-hmm. We shame thin women for what they choose to wear. Oh, her boobs are too big to wear that. Oh, her boobs are too small to wear that.
Yeah.
Oh, I can see her butt doesn't look good in those jeans.
She's too white to wear white.
Yeah. Like, it's all another form of body terrorism. I'm very into this word, body terrorism.
I like it.
Everyone needs to read The Body Is Not an Apology, but, like, now whenever Rob and I see, hear, or even say ourselves, or Rob will say something and I'll go, body terrorist. It's our favorite move now. We'll be looking at the TV. And now it's great, though, because now we'll be, like, we'll look and we'll be, like, commenting on something on, like, one of our dumb shows with, like, idiots trying to fall in love who are really hot. Mm-hmm. I'll say something and I'll be like, is that body terrorism? I'll be like, Rob, was that body terrorism that I said that her makeup doesn't match the rest of her body? And he's like, I don't think so, because I think you're commenting only on the color of the makeup and not on the color of her actual skin.
You're commenting on, like, her relative ability to blend.
Her relative ability to blend. I have a lot of thoughts on people's ability to blend. So many people cannot blend. And, like, y'all, it's the most important skill in a blind makeup.
If your foundation stops at your jawline, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Also, like, if it doesn't match the top of your chest, like, you probably need to think about some kind of transition shade, you know? Anyway, point being, don't be a body terrorist. Like, no one has the right to comment on what anybody else wears ever. If I want to wear a crop top and you think that my tummy sticking out isn't cute, I don't give a fuck. Keep your opinion to yourself and maybe examine that opinion and look at where that comes from. Where does that come from? It comes from our culture, which is both fat phobic and woman hating. So maybe. This also comes, oh my God, so much. It's such a big deal for trans and non-binary people as well.
Yeah.
Because
people
are all, oh, she's passing or she's not passing is another form of body terrorism. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck you. You don't get to be the judge of someone's womanhood.
Also, the people that demand that every non-binary person that goes by they, them pronouns be an exact androgynous person.
Yes. That you must be 50-50.
Yeah.
You must be my vision of 50-50. If I were to imagine a perfect person that was 50% male and 50% female, you must be that. You know?
Or like, that's not what non-binary means.
Yeah. Or like, oh, well, you can't wear that skirt because you have hairy arms or a hairy chest or hairy legs. Like, first of all, fuck anybody that does that to trans and non-binary people, but also fuck anybody that does that to women. Like, we're allowed to have body hair if we want. Yeah. We're also allowed to not have it if we don't want. Anyone who wants to is allowed to wear a crop top. You know, I don't care. If a fat man wants to wear a Speedo, that's good for him.
Good for him.
Fucking good for him. If that's what he feels comfortable with,
fuck yeah.
That's fine. Like, we all just need to stop giving so much of a shit about what other people do with their bodies. Mm-hmm. And because this is just another way that we blame people for what happens to them, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, well, what did you expect? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you were. Oh, well,
of
you
course,
were,
those women got harassed at
exactly.
the beach. They were wearing bikinis.
They were wearing bikinis. How dare they? Of course, that woman got kicked out of her exam. I mean, what did she think was going to happen? She was wearing a skirt, which is all, oh God, it's all connected, Allie. The little dots, they go everywhere.
Do they lead back to white supremacy and capitalism?
Well, yes, no, they do. They do, actually. But in this case, like, it's not that far a step to get from, well, those women deserved to be harassed, to that woman deserved to be assaulted.
Yeah.
Because of what she was wearing. This is all a continuum. And at the end is fucking assault. Right?
Yeah.
And murder of trans people and women and anybody that doesn't conform. People of color. Oh my God, do we police what people of color wear? Mm-hmm. Did you see the Balenciaga thing recently?
What happened?
Balenciaga, motherfuckers. They made these pants that are, the intention is to look like they're sagging. Like they have boxers sewn in at the top.
Yeah.
And then the pants start like 6 inches down.
Right.
And they're selling these things for like $1,000, over $1,000.
Okay.
Not making any, like, there's no thought given to the fact that Black men have literally been arrested and gunned down for having sagging pants.
Right.
This is something that has been made illegal in a lot of places in the U.S., It's made like an indecent exposure, whatever, because Black men do it, mm-hmm. right? Or have done it historically. And so it just is so ridiculously tone deaf and appropriative and also horrifically insensitive to start selling that as high fashion, right? Which is what all of these big fashion houses do. They take trends that were begun in Black cultures, in subcultures, and then they commodify them and sell them to rich white people.
Yeah.
And I thought that
I knew there was going to be a white supremacy capitalism connect.
There it is. And I find that to be especially just horrible.
Really tacky. Like, you as tacky as those Lululemon hose Balenciaga.
Do a Google. Like, do one Google. Like, do a Google. Like, pants sag, police. You know what? Some shit's gonna come up. And it's not gonna be pretty.
It's not cute.
So, yeah, when you put it on a white model, who, by the way, didn't even do a good job. I mean, they came up to, like, his belly button. It was not a cute look at all. But, like, you put it on a white model and it's fashion. You put it on a Black person, it's a reason to get arrested, you know?
So
we all just need to calm down and sit down and shut the fuck up about what other people are wearing. Because guess what? It's actually none of your business. And actually, the person who's wearing the thing, like, they don't need to know. They don't need to know your opinion. And I know there are people who think, like, oh, but wouldn't they want to know if what they're wearing isn't flattering on them? No.
No.
No. How is that going to make their day any better?
Assume this person owns a mirror.
They know what they look like.
Yeah.
They've chosen to put that on and to go out in public. And that's their choice. That's the choice they have made today. Mm-hmm. And you going up to them and berating them for what they're wearing, or even a kind whisper, is not going to make them feel better. In fact, it's going to make them feel shitty about their body and about their choices, but probably mostly about their own body. So,
yeah, because this is assuming that everyone who leaves their house, like, feels confident.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, what's the reaction going to be? Like, oh, my gosh, thank you so much for telling me. I don't own a mirror. So when I left the house, I thought I looked amazing. But now that you've told me that I look horrible and you can't bear to look at my fat thighs anymore, I feel so much better.
Yeah.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. No, fuck off. And if something is distracting to you or you don't like the way someone's wearing something.
Well, that's a you problem.
That's a you problem. Keep it to yourself. And I would implore you to examine what that means about how you talk to yourself. Because what I find is that most of the people who are critical of what other people wear are even more critical of themselves and what they wear and their own insecurities. So maybe, let's just assume that that person who's wearing that thing that you don't think looks good, let's assume that they actually don't give a shit and they're happy with their body and they're showing it in the way they want to show it. And your opinion is irrelevant.
Yep. Fuck off.
It made me really mad this week.
Yeah. That was a rich vein.
It was. A rich vein of deep and abiding rage.
I have one boba left.
Wow, you've done an amazing job with your boba. Allie,
yeah?
Can you please tell me something better?
Of course. Ask the question.
Oh, my God. I thought I did, but no, I didn't.
You just said, cheer me up. Tell me something better. I said,
tell me something better than that. Like, it needs to be a lot better, though. Like, not just, like, a less bad hate.
Okay.
So, can you tell me something that you love or hate to say that you love?
I hate to say it, but I love being a snob.
I am 100% sure that I have done this hate. Are you? Early in the podcast. No, you continue.
I checked the spreadsheet.
Wait, really?
I did.
Wow, I am impressed. I was so sure that I had already done this.
I typed in snob.
Okay, are you me right now? Then go ahead. Continue.
I love my shitty opinions. Ugh. Oh boy, do I love my shitty opinions. And I love sharing my shitty opinions with people who love me unconditionally, because here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Do you want my hot take right now about like the lead into the movies at AMC? No, you don't. You don't need that.
You mean like the before the movies start playing, yeah, where like you're on like a little roller coaster or whatever?
No, but I love that. I love that one. No, but it was reminding me. I saw a movie recently with my friends this Sunday, and before we were all, me and my other friend who are a snob, we were shitting on the trailer for a movie, mm-hmm, and then Nicole Kidman has this intro that she does now at AMC, where she's like, welcome back to the movies. And we're all watching it in bewilderment. And me and my friend went, does she need a check? Like, is she in debt? What's happening? Why are you here, Nicole Kidman? And then I was like, this is so rude to Nicole Kidman. Then I was like, Nicole Kidman's not here. And also, I'm with my friend. You know?
Yeah, like we're not friends with Nicole Kidman.
Right. And it just felt really great because I'm very conscious of, like, what I say here. And, like, I don't want to say anything bad about this, like, specific movie because, like, let's pretend, like, I work with one of these people and you're going to pull up a podcast. Like, whatever.
We don't want to be assholes to artists.
Yeah. And then I realized I'm only ever truly an aggressive snob with people who love me unconditionally. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, that's a form of intimacy.
You just snobbery. Know
my shitty opinions on fucking everything.
Oh, yeah, because you can't share that shit.
I can't share that with everybody. Like, absolutely not.
I have so many shitty opinions about, like, food and alcohol. Like, I'm so fucking bougie. Yeah. Like, ugh.
I'm mostly snobby about art.
The worst.
What are your food and alcohol positions?
All of them. I will make a stereotype about someone based on any brand of vodka that they order, right? Because first I'm judging you for ordering vodka, and then there's like all the different brands, and like there are brands that I think like if you have to drink vodka, drink this one. But like, and then, you know, there's like shit, I don't know, I'll shit on all kinds of different beers. But, like, I don't know why, like, it's
you also worked in food and beverage for, like, 10 years.
Totally. And I worked in fine dining. And so it's not really that I'm judging a person, actually. It's just that I'm judging, like, I'm judging all the shitty brands.
Yeah.
Oh, shittiness.
I'm an aggressive art snob.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, do I have opinions about acting and art.
Oh, yeah.
And you filmmaking.
Know, I have opinions about everything, though. Like, I'll be like, that's a shitty candle. Right? I'll be like, no, that's not the best water bottle. Like, I'm the worst. I have an opinion about everything.
Mine aren't that aggressive, but I will believe that your house is, like, basic or choogy.
Oh, yeah.
That
I can't believe you just said choogy.
Oh my God. Listen, you have to roll with the times, man.
I guess so.
But you
Here's
know what I mean?
About choogy. Okay, let's have a sidebar on choogy.
Let's be snobs about the word choogy for a minute.
It's, first of all, I
Who invented it? Can we think of better sounds to make?
Right? Choogy. That's, like, not a good sound.
It's not a fun thing to say.
No, and, like, I
doesn't
also
roll
feel
off the
like,
tongue.
You know, it's a, for those who don't know, it's something that, like, apparently Gen Z is, like, lobbying against millennials. I don't feel like
because
they're
talking
about.
Because
we're basic.
I don't identify as basic.
I don't either. So like I don't really think
basic.
I don't really think they're talking about me. Also, I firmly now believe that I am a time traveled Gen Z, that I was just literally born at the wrong time, and that my spirit was actually meant to be born like 10 years later.
That feels like a reverse what everyone fucking says in our generation.
Yeah.
Where they're like, I was born in the wrong time. It would have been like so great in the 50s or 70s. Like, shut up.
Yeah. Or even the people who are like, I'm not a millennial, I'm an Xennial. And I'm like, bitch, you're my exact age. You are a prime millennial.
Prime.
Prime. However, I just believe I belong to Gen Z in my heart. So mm-hmm. I do not identify as Chuggy, but I also would never call anyone Chuggy.
You also don't identify as Gen Z.
No, I don't. I mean, I am a. I sometimes in my heart, I do. Sometimes in my heart, I'm like, you're my people.
Okay, Erin.
But I also think that, like, millennials who use Chuggy to try to sound like they're not Chuggy or to try to, like, own their Chugginess, like, that's not a good look either. Like, you're a tryhard.
A little bit. Like, right? I don't get on. I'm not on TikTok because I'm aware of the fact that I'm old.
Right. I don't belong there.
That's not my space. This was not built for me.
It's literally not my space. That's our space. My space.
My space was our space. Listen. Yeah.
If you were in my top eight, shit.
The top eight drama.
The drama.
Oh, man. Yeah. And then I'm a snob about other people's opinions. Mm-hmm. I can think your opinion shitty.
I'm a snob about the word Chuggy and millennials who use it. And also a little bit about Gen Z people who use it. Although, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Do you.
You know, people but who are like, oh, I don't have a lot of friends who are girls. I'm like, you're shitty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, if you just write off entire groups of people.
I've never understood that whole thing of, like, being proud that you're not friends with a certain kind of person. You know, like, I don't go around announcing, like, how many friends I have in each demographic.
Right.
You know, like, how weird would that be if you applied it to a different group?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of – this is a thing women say to sound like they're cool or something.
And it could just be that, like, I don't struggle with that because I get how interacting with another woman could be weird if you have a certain set of, like, baggage or rules or upbringing or, like, your mom was a certain way. Like, I get that. Because this is a thing that I don't fucking say in public.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get...
Like, I do empathize with that.
I kind of get that.
I can't be a snob about it in public, though.
Well, but here's the thing. I don't mind people who genuinely have more male friends than female friends. It's the people who announce it. Like, that's what I'm snobbing about, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I actually don't care what the gender breakdown of your friends is. Like, but people don't go around bragging about it the other way. Oh, well, I'm just not friends with men. You know? Yeah. Have you ever heard anybody say it? Or, like, what if you took a different group? Oh, I'm just not friends with people over 30.
Yeah, anyone in a wheelchair can just go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
Like, no one says that.
Here's the thing, Allie. It's good this is your love because you are only going to find support here.
Yes. And it was so great when we were living together because we got to know each other better when we were living together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, this is my shitty opinion. And it would like touch the ground. And then Erin would be like, fuck yeah, turn up the volume. Let's go.
Let's go.
And now we have a podcast.
Now we have a podcast to tell our shitty opinions to everyone.
Yeah. And I was like, ooh, I love the support of someone holding a space for your shitty opinion. Mm-hmm. That feels nice to me.
It feels so good.
You know?
Rob does this for me all the time. I'll rail against all kinds of shit that, like, and do I even really hold those opinions that strongly? No. I could be convinced.
Yeah. And then it's like, it's the no one's trying to change you of it all. It's just mm-hmm. like, yep, I completely, 100% love and accept that about you.
Mm-hmm.
You have that very large opinion about something that is not of consequence, but it's of consequence because this is your fun hobby is to incite anger and snobbery within yourself because you think it's fun.
Oh, yeah. I have opinions about who's been chosen to be on Dancing with the Stars. Allie, have I ever watched a full episode of Dancing with the Stars? Never in my life. I would never do that. However, do I feel that I am 100% justified in having opinions about who has been cast on Dancing with the Stars? Absolutely,
oh, yeah. I do. Wasn't Sean Spicer on Dancing with the Stars for a minute?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think we all could have an opinion about that. The current one is Olivia Jade.
I'm really looking forward to seeing JoJo Siwa, though.
Oh, yes. And by seeing, I mean watching some clips on YouTube.
Yeah.
Later.
Yeah.
Again, I'm never going to watch a full episode of Dancing with the Stars.
So that's my love. Erin, what do you love?
Oh, boy. I love a self-diagnosis.
Ew!
I'm living for
Ew!
It. So I'm going to make some admissions right now. I'm going to make one admission because I'm trying to stop this behavior, But I really love that I've self-diagnosed, like, and it has a name.
Uh-huh.
Dermatillomania.
What's
that? Do you know what that is?
Is that skin picking?
Yes. It's skin picking. So I've been biting my nails or biting the skin around my nails, my cuticles. Like, I don't really bite my nails as much anymore, but, like, I have plenty of open wounds on myself right now from picking my skin. Here's one on my finger.
Yeah.
That one's, like, mostly healed. It was really bad at first. And I've been picking the skin on my feet very, very badly. This is disgusting. I want everyone to know that this is gross. And I felt very shameful about it. I've felt this way for a long time because, like, I've gone through periods where it gets worse and sometimes it gets better. I've been going through a rough patch.
Uh-huh.
And during this rough patch, like, during the last couple weeks, like, this, I've just been picking my feet to the point of bleeding and to the point of, like, not being able to walk without limping the next day. Like, oh, it's been really bad. And, you know, it's not something that's just happened, like, one time and then you're like, oh, that was stupid. Let me just not do that anymore.
Right.
It's a compulsion, mm-hmm. right? And so I did some reading about it on the internet and, you know what? It made me feel a lot better about it.
Yeah.
My self-diagnosis has really helped. It made me feel, I was like, read an article that's like, first, like, you need to not be ashamed or like, not, it wasn't like you shouldn't be ashamed, but, right. you know, it was like one thing that could help is talking about it with people and not just you, because, you know, as we all know, shame breeds in silence, right? Shame right. really likes to grow in those dark corners of yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, like when you're afraid to talk about it, like that's where shame grows, I feel like.
Right.
And so I told Rob about it and he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, but now I'm telling you. Like, I know you've observed this.
Yes.
But now I'm telling you.
I need you, to know that I know.
I need you to know that I know. And now we all know. And now we can work on doing something about it.
Yeah.
You know? So I've, like, I went online and I did a bunch of shit. I ordered a bunch of stuff on Amazon. Like, I got, like, a pedicure thing. And I got, like, a bunch of foot lotion to keep in all the different rooms so that, like, when I'm feeling that urge, like, maybe just put lotion on my feet instead and see if that helps.
Mm-hmm.
I also got these fidget rings that, Ooh. Like, spin. I got these on Amazon for, like, no... Ugh, fuck you, Jeff Bezos. I really wanted to get some on Etsy, but I needed them immediately. So I did order them from Amazon. But they're, you know, it's a ring with a little spinner on it so that when I'm fidgeting, I don't start picking at my hands and feet. Also got a bunch of different hand creams. So it's like once you admit that there's a problem, and I feel like the thing with self-diagnosis is like once you have a name for it.
Right.
That's really helpful. And once you just like realize that you're not the only person that does this disgusting thing that you're so grossed out and ashamed of, that just makes all the difference sometimes.
Yeah. I know I said ew before about self-diagnosis, and that is my shitty opinion about certain people that I know who, like, self-diagnose themselves with, like, wild things.
Mm.
But I will say, like, because I have to take that back, because I think the medical industry is widely biased and, like, definitely based in white supremacy. So the tool of self-diagnosis has been used for people to seek out means to help themselves.
Yeah, and the truth is, like, what is
and I do enjoy that.
Yeah, like, what is what is the difference if I give this thing a name or not? Like, right. It is what it is. It's a compulsion. It's a thing I do that I've done for a long time, and I have a difficult time stopping doing it. So if it makes mm-hmm. me feel better, and if it makes me more likely to take action by giving it a name, like, that's amazing. I have also, I'm not going to get all the way into this today because I think there's more to be said about it, but I have also recently self-diagnosed myself with ADHD,
mm-hmm.
Which I firmly, like, after all the reading I've done and then my mom sent me her diagnosis checklist, like, as an actual medical professional.
Yeah.
And I was like, check, 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 check. I have all the symptoms.
Yeah.
And even that, like, I am going to pursue an actual diagnosis, which, again, is really difficult to get sometimes because it's a controlled substance. All the treatments for it, you know, Adderall right. and Ritalin.
I do think it's important to have on your medical record so that, like, you're yeah. able to have, like, complete care taken care of you, like, if God forbid something happens to you. And then, sure. like, it's on your documents.
Well, I am going to pursue a diagnosis because I am – I do want to explore medication.
Okay.
But I'm in this Reddit thread for women with ADHD, and it's so great. And I find that, like, the diagnosis, yes, it's important. If you're in school, it's really important because you can't get any kind of accommodations for your disability if your disability is not, like, on
record.
Yeah. And, you know, it's also important if you want to pursue medicine. But even this part, this time where, like, I haven't gotten that official medical diagnosis yet, it's been helpful for me to talk to other people who have the same bullshit that I have. And one of my things is brushing my teeth is, like, this is part of, like, how you know you might have ADHD. Brushing my teeth is something that not only do I forget to do it, but also I hate doing it because the thought of having to stand still and do nothing but brush my teeth for 2 whole minutes makes me sometimes just want to crawl out of my skin.
I remember this discussion. We had it on the podcast, and then I gave you the toothbrushing podcast for children.
Yes, and sometimes that works for me, and sometimes it doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
But also I never had a reason for it, right? Mm-hmm. I just knew that, like, brushing my teeth is so boring that I don't want to do it. But then even to myself, that sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds, like, so strange. But yeah. Then I go on this subreddit of women with ADHD, mostly adults and older teenagers.
Yeah.
And this is a whole thing.
Yeah.
Everyone who has ADHD, not everyone, but a lot of people who have ADHD struggle with dental hygiene.
Yeah.
And even just doing that and accepting that, like, oh, there's this thing about me that is not actually my fault. Like, maybe it's not my fault. Maybe this is how I was wired and yeah. I have a hard time with it. I've started brushing my teeth more consistently. Yeah. You know, like, I feel like sometimes that self-diagnosis, and yes, again, like, especially if it's something big, like, go to a doctor, get a medical diagnosis. Yeah. If they don't listen to you or you feel like you're being just dismissed, go to another doctor, get a second opinion. Like, you're totally within your rights to do that. So I'm not saying, like, we should all just be WebMDing constantly. But
that's a
for
trap.
Me, some of these self-diagnoses have actually given me the freedom to take action.
Yeah.
And to release myself from all the guilt and shame that surrounds, like, some of these things I have. Because, right, it's pretty gross to be like, I pick my feet till they bleed and I don't always brush my teeth. Like, it's gross.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it, like, when you have a thing and you're like, oh, this is a big enough thing that it can be addressed in this formal way, not just like, I have an ambiguous compulsion.
Yeah. It just makes me feel better. It also made me feel better that that dermatillomania is often associated with people with ADHD because of that, like, can't stop moving, can't stop fidgeting thing.
Right.
Which I definitely also have.
Yeah, I identify with this. Actually, depression and ADHD, we have a lot of the similar spaces.
Yes.
I've accidentally, like, dovetailed into an ADHD space just because, like, we need similar resources.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just that is there are chores that are fucking impossible.
Mm-hmm.
There are tasks that are impossible. I relate on the forgetting to brush your teeth because, like, we are still in a global pandemic. I don't frequently leave my house, and sometimes it'll be after lunch. I'm like, I didn't do that yet.
Yeah.
And I still brush my teeth twice a day. Don't get me wrong, but
I will admit I don't brush my teeth twice a day.
Not first thing
every
in the morning.
Like, I'm doing once a day. I almost always do it once a day, but twice a day is hard for me, and I'm working on it. But, like,
also, have you ever had coffee after you've brushed your teeth? It's stupid.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to do. But yeah, I don't know. I find that these self-diagnoses that I have done have led me to really supportive and wonderful spaces where I actually feel like I can start working on these things before and, like, leading up to therapy or medication or wherever I decide to go with it.
Right.
But just, like, having that acceptance of, oh, I'm not just, like, a disgusting, gross person. Like, there might be reasons for these things, and I can work to make things better. Like, weirdly, it actually, having a permission slip, like, for doing these things or not doing these things makes me want to work harder to fix it. Rather than before, I think the guilt and the shame is not actually inducive to making positive changes, because those are really negative feelings.
Exactly.
So now I feel like, oh, I'm free. Therefore, I shall brush my teeth. You know, I have the freedom to brush my teeth whenever I want. And now I can. So, yeah, I'm not saying like Google your cancer or like don't get treatment if you need treatment. Like, definitely do.
Not everything can be fixed with essential oils.
Yes. Also very correct. Like, and I'm open for ADHD. It's like, take medication, don't take medication. It's your own choice. For me, that's a route that I'm going to consider. And that definitely pursue. And it's also a difficult route that not everyone has to pursue, right? Mm-hmm. Because there are things that can just be helpful to know about yourself, whether you decide to, you know, take amphetamines or not.
Right. Yeah. Ugh, motherfucker. That's the realist.
Bless a subreddit.
Bless a subreddit. I do those foot peel masks, and I can't tell if that would be helpful or harmful for you.
So I actually have some right now that I've been like waiting to use, and they would not be helpful at the moment because I have open wounds on my feet.
Right.
So once I am a little bit more healed, I'm going to do one, because I do think like the smoother my feet are, the fewer like ragged corners there are for me to pick at, mm-hmm. the better. Right.
Also, it's just really satisfying.
It's so satisfying. And that's the feeling I get from picking.
Yeah.
Which is not
We're all not just trying good. To be satisfied.
We're all just trying to be satisfied, y'all. We all just want to be loved. Anyway, I'm telling you my gross things right now so that if you have gross things, maybe you'll feel a little bit less ashamed about it. Because, hey, we all have gross things.
We're all gross here.
We're all disgusting. It's fine. Allie, how do you feel?
I feel pretty okay.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I've been pulling off the Band-Aid, like, slowly, because I've been slowly telling more people about my ADHD and my dermatillomania.
Right.
And so it actually felt much less uncomfortable than I thought it would.
Good for you.
So I'm just owning it, y'all. I'm owning my shit.
I'm just checking our reviews to see if we have any. I bet we don't.
Y'all, rate and review.
We back.
We back. We all the way back.
Last one is from our friend Pharmacy Chick 28. Ah, we love her.
I do want to say that some people have reached out to me personally and said that they are happy that we're back, and or that our voices are the first thing they've heard in the morning because they like went on Instagram or whatever. And thanks, y'all. Thanks for reaching
out. That feels so nice.
Because it feels really nice to know that like I feel so grateful that y'all, I didn't feel like we are disappointing or that anyone would judge us for taking the time off that we needed.
Yeah.
But then, like, it feels really nice to hear that people care that we're back. You know?
Yeah.
Like, they missed us. They really missed us.
That is good to hear. We love hearing from you. Please get at us. We're at Erin and Allie on the social medias.
Yep, that's where we are. We're also erinandallie@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Send us a dramatic reading. Send us a voice memo. We want them all.
All of them, please.
I'm at Erin the Rye, if you want to hit me up.
I'm at Allie Chan. It's my name.
It's just her name.
It's just my name. That's you're going to have a weird time spelling it. It's
weird.
Look at it. You're looking at it right now. Look at what this podcast is called.
And look then put at the Chan. Spelling. And or just Chan. Click the link to her Instagram.
Oh, that's right. We do that in the show notes. We do that.
They're there in the show notes. So you could do that too.
Yeah.
Definitely hit us up. Hashtag compliment challenge. We didn't even.
We did not follow up on that.
We did not follow up on that one at bit. All. We didn't even put it on our socials.
We didn't put supplementary materials
look,
up.
Look, y'all.
Listen, there I were said more, it knowing it was going to be a half joke.
There were more important things going on.
The
this
world,
week.
As always, is exploding. California might have a new governor by the time you hear this.
Or we might have the same one. Hopefully, we have the same one. Or you know what?
Our same shitty governor as opposed to a different, worse. Shitty governor.
An even shittier governor. You know, like, now I can say it full on. Gavin Newsom, you're still shitty. You fucking suck. He sucks.
Yeah.
He's just a lame politician who, like, wanted to win the popularity contest, and, like, that's why he's a Democrat, and he doesn't really, whatever.
It's like him and Garcetti. I'm like, stop
it. Strong opinions about both of those white men. But yeah, like, I'm glad I voted.
Me too.
Because no matter what has happened already.
Yeah.
I did my part. Probably, this is California. Probably we're still counting, right?
I got my receipt in my email being like, you were counted. I was like,
you were counted. Thanks. So maybe we'll know something. Maybe we know something today. In the future,
this is either a very good day or a very bad day, yep. Friends.
No, this is either like a normal bad day or an extremely bad day.
That's true.
Because like, what changes? You know, if we vote no on the recall, like it doesn't get worse.
We still live in a very strange dystopia, just one where I can get an abortion if I need one.
Exactly.
That's the difference. That's how you know if you're in hell or not.
Texas, welcome to hell.
Welcome to hell, babies.
Sorry. Well, I'm Erin.
And I'm Allie.
And we hate everything.
No. All the way down. All the way down.
You dumb bitch.
Was that me, you dumb bitch?
I was talking to her, but then I realized I would say that to either of you.